I'm joined by Nicholas Noe, co-founder of the MideastWire.com and an expert on Hezbollah. Nick, I'm interested in your take on these Israeli airstrikes in Syria. The Syrians say the strikes hit a research center. U.S. officials say it hit some kind of convoy taking weapons to Lebanon. What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, we've been seeing this telegraphed for the last at least 4 or 5 days in the Israeli media. It started to get reported widely in the English language Western media and European media in the last few days. So it was obvious that something was on its way. The Israelis have been increasingly concerned, as have the Americans, about the chaos in Syria. And secondarily, related to that, the existence of some of the most destructive weapons known to man in Syria. A few kilometers away from Israeli territory, Palestinian territory, Turkish territory, Lebanese territory. So all the factors for this strike were there. Unfortunately, all of the factors exist for a much wider escalation and conflagration in these coming hours and coming days. It's not really important for us in the public to understand exactly what was hit at this point. What is very clear is that there is activity in Syria. Things are moving very quickly. It's very hard, even for the most sophisticated intelligence agencies in the world, to know exactly what is going on. There's a huge degree of the unknown for all of the actors involved. And on top of that, the fundamental problem is that there are these weapons and there are these factions that are extreme in terms of the destructive capability of the weapons and extreme in terms of the ideological approach to this violence. From the regime side in Syria, you can argue from aspects of Hezbollah, the militant Shiite group in Lebanon, extreme in terms of the Sunni fighters in Syria, with aligned with the al-Nusra Front, for example, who were reported in the media the other day to be actively fighting the Syrian regime around chemical weapons depots. So that's the catastrophic mix that the Israelis are facing and that we're all facing. And the Israelis took action. They decided to take action. And we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming, especially in these last few months, because the underlying factors for a greater involvement by outside powers was simply building. And that's where we're at today. And I don't think the story ends today. This is not like, when there was the Israeli strike against the purported Syrian nuclear facility a few years ago. You know, a pinpoint strike, Assad takes it, and he can control his state apparatus, and they decide on how they're going to respond or not respond. And they didn't respond those few years ago. Right now, you're in a completely chaotic and different situation where there are multiple possibilities that are increasingly likely. I think that at the very least, we're going to see more of this in these coming days. There are chemical weapon sites straight across Syria. There are stockpiles that are perhaps the third largest stockpiles in the world, and you have an array of actors that are, some of them are quite brutal, quite violent, and committed to very extreme forms of political action. So I think this is not going to be the end.
You think there's going to be more Israeli airstrikes against Syria?
Absolutely. I mean, the only way there could not be more strikes is if the situation stabilizes. And there is very little prospect of this situation stabilizing at all. There's very little hope that there's going to be political stabilization. The only hope right now that's driving forward a political stabilization plan, a real plan to try and stabilize it, is if the Russians, the Americans, the Israelis, and the Syrian regime are all frightened about where this is going. Now, there are signs that everyone is frightened, and that's why you can read the Israeli strike as a kind of a note of caution to the international community, especially to the Americans and the Syrian regime. The fundamental problem is that even if these different actors are scared, at this point, the Pandora's box has been opened so wide, there are so many actors on the ground that don't care about finding a political settlement, and they now increasingly have the weapons to make this a prolonged struggle, that it's very hard for these great powers to, you know, magically turn off the spigot the next day, as if we were in the 1970s or 1960s or 1950s. That power to kind of master these situations has really slipped out of everyone's hands because the violence got so deep in Syria. The actors are so varied and difficult to control, and the weapons themselves are so powerful. So yes, I expect that in these coming days, we're going to see more strikes by the Israelis. After all, there's more of this stuff floating around Syria. There's more of it that's vulnerable. You know, it's incredible that on the Israeli media now, you're reading reports where, you know, the Israeli media is concerned that Assad's chemical weapons are vulnerable to being seized by rebels. You know, it's almost as if, you know, the Israelis wish that Assad was stronger because then he could protect these things. It's gotten to such a point where the Israelis are enormously concerned about the diffusion of these weapons, not just the Hezbollah in Lebanon across the border, which is where the strike, one of the strikes that we know about at least supposedly was, but also, as we've seen in the Israeli media over the last few days, great concern that Hezbollah is actually not the one that the Israelis are increasingly concerned about, because Hezbollah has proven itself to be a relatively pragmatic actor over these years that can respond to pain and violence and can respond to threats and intimidation and carrots and sticks. It's actually these folks like al-Nusra Front, al-Qaeda-linked groups, that are running wild in large swaths of Syria. And this is something that you can't control through the diplomatic niceties or through violence or through carrots and sticks. It doesn't work. The old game, it doesn't work, really.
Hezbollah has condemned the attack as barbaric, but it took more than sort of 24 hours to react. Should we read anything into that delay?
Yeah, I think we should read into that delay that Hezbollah, like all of the actors, is enormously confused. This is perhaps one of the most challenging sort of tactical and strategic environments that we've seen in the Middle East ever, I would argue. It's incredibly difficult to try and figure out how to react to imperfect information in an extraordinarily fluid environment. Now, if this had been 1973 and we're talking about the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, we're talking about the state actors, etc., then, you know, I'm sure that the response would have been swifter. Problem is that Hezbollah probably doesn't even know right now exactly what's going on the ground. Just like, you know, I think a lot of the big powers also are not certain. There is a great degree of uncertainty and contingent possibilities that have been opened up by this prolonged conflict. And until we find a political solution to this, it's just going to get worse, and it's going to become even more impossible for these great powers to turn the spigot off if they want to. And that's really what's frightening, and that's perhaps what's new also in this Middle East that is, you know, looks like it's just collapsing straight across the board. You look at Egypt, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, Algeria, Mali, Libya, Syria, Iraq, northern Iraq. I mean, the straight across the Middle East, these old security architectures and old political architectures are crumbling at such a fast rate and with, you know, such a possibility of synergy, of a negative synergy amongst and between these, that great powers, you know, great powers and smaller powers like Hezbollah are hard-pressed to figure out what the heck are they going to do.
So do you think that the Israel's actions make the regional conflagration that we all feared more likely?
My hope is that the Israeli actions, whether one wants to morally condemn them or not, a strong strategic message to all of the actors that the time for a political settlement is now. Unfortunately, I don't think that this Israeli leadership, this extraordinarily right-wing Israeli leadership, is interested necessarily in sending messages of peace. I think they see some of their greatest enemies, the North, Hezbollah, and Syria, as very vulnerable, and I'm greatly concerned that actually there is a strong desire amongst parts of the Israeli establishment, certainly not all, and we've seen dissent from some of the security chiefs even in the last few days on this aspect. I am really concerned that the Israelis want to try to use this opportunity to strike, you know, some very strong blows against their strategic enemies. And now can look like a decent time on the military battlefield. Of course, it's a terrible time if you're talking about in moral terms, if you're talking about political terms, if you're talking about in terms of wanting to get some sort of a peaceful solution, much less stability out of the Middle East. But I don't know if this Israeli leadership is really concerned by all that. On the other side, with the Assad regime increasingly with backs against the wall, as well as some of its allies in the region, I think also there is, an increasing sort of, let's say, ascent of people wanting to pull the whole temple down on their enemies. And that's very dangerous. Perhaps the Israeli message will be read well in Washington and in Russia, and in Turkey, for example, and in the Gulf states that are supporting and fueling some of the worst fighters in the world on the opposition side in Syria, and that people will pull back and find a political solution. But unfortunately, if the past is any predictor of the future, we're in for more. We're in for more Israeli airstrikes. And unfortunately, a political process to settle this is not going to be forthcoming for quite some time. One has to remember a real danger here, too, is the psychological one, which is the Israelis effectively lost in their July 2006 war with Hezbollah. That was a tremendous defeat for the Israeli establishment in many ways, even though in reality Hezbollah lost a lot as well, and the Israelis actually, you know, defended themselves and their populations very well, etc. It was really regarded as a major blow to the Israeli deterrent threat. They've been looking for the past 6-7 years to try and right that balance and smash this enemy that, you know, withstood the Israeli onslaught for 33 days in South Lebanon in 2006. I think that's a very strong driver of this next few days from some of the Israeli establishment that will like to take this opportunity to use their new weapons, use their new defensive systems, which they hope can protect civilian populations in Israel from an Israeli rocket attacks, and try to go for gold like they did in 2006 when the objective of the Israeli establishment and government was to destroy Hezbollah. Right now they have a chance to work their way, you know, right through the region with Syria, a collapsing Assad regime, and Hezbollah. And heck, you know, I'm sure that some of the Israeli establishment would like to drag Iran into this and in doing that hopefully get the Americans to fight along their side. This stuff, you know, can sound conspiratorial, but unfortunately, you know, in the last few years, certainly, and really the history of the modern Middle East, not to mention these last few months, conspiracy has been the order of the day, and some of the worst wars have started by the conspiratorial actions of a few small actors in key positions. And unfortunately, we've opened up a wide Pandora's box where there are a lot of these kinds of actors, and they got a lot of tools that they can use to do a lot of really bad things. So yeah, I expect to see more violence in these coming days and weeks. Hopefully the Americans and the Russians get the message, and they try to use their levers of influence to pull everyone back from the brink. If they don't, if that political courage doesn't exist, then it's going to be very hard to restrain this activity.
Okay, Nick. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Matt. Bye.